What is up, guys? Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of the Swordfish Survival Podcast. This is your boy Swordfish. We're going to get right into this episode called Let's Talk About Fire. Fire is one of those tools and skill sets that can be used in an urban or wilderness setting, but more than likely, when we talk about fire, it's going to be in the wilderness environment. It's going to be around camping. It's going to be around keeping you warm. It's going to be providing light. Fire does a number of things for us. It can ward off animals in the wilderness. It can give off light and heat, and that can boost your morale in a survival situation. And it also has the ability to dry out your clothing, dry out your shoes. If you've been out in the wilderness for any length of time, and chances are you've came across running water, or you know, if you have fallen and gotten muddy and dirty, and you've cleaned your clothes and cleaned your gear, you need it to dry out so it doesn't mold or doesn't cause chafing or anything like that. So fire can allow you to dry these things out to allow you to continue to use your gear. Also, you can use fire to prep food. And to have a nice hot meal will definitely boost your morale in a survival situation. But as we learned in the last episode, fire can also clean dirty water. You can bring water to a roaring boil using a good hot fire and good flame and get you some good clean drinking water and water to make food easier to digest or to clean up a wound, for example. But we're not worried about water as much as we are today about fire and the ability to make fire. And it's easy to make fire in the right conditions, in the right scenarios. It's easy to make fire when you don't need it. It's easy to make a big bonfire and have friends over and do different things. But what about in a survival situation, in adverse conditions? Let's think about making fire when it's cold and wet outside. How difficult that can be, or how difficult it can be, even with snow on the ground, where everything is soaked and everything's just wet, and it'll be extremely difficult to make fire to keep you warm or have it to burn long enough to boil water if you need it, or to clean, to prep food, or to provide you light in a camping environment to ward off animals that could bring you harm. It takes these skills and the training to provide you these skills to make fire in adverse conditions. Don't just train in the sunlight. Don't just train when the conditions are correct for fire to come to pass. Train your skills in these adverse conditions. If you catch yourself outside and you have the time and the resources, when it begins raining, try to get yourself into a position where you can try to start a fire. Or if it's cold and snowy the night before, go outside, make you an area where you can try to start a small campfire and see how long it takes you. See how long it takes you with cold fingers and minimal resources to try to get a fire going. There's many different ways to get fire started. So it's important that we train these skills and hone these skills in adverse conditions. If you train like you want to play, when it's time to play, it'll be just like you've trained. So let's talk about ways that and gear that we can carry to make fire creation or fire craft easier on us. One thing I like to talk about is it doesn't take a genius to make fire. Cavemen made fires. Those that have came before us made fires. And those that have come after us will make fire. So keep it simple. Keep gear with you that will make this very simple. And other things that can make it a little more complex, but make it easier on you. Some of the gear that I like to carry is some cotton balls soaked in Vaseline or petroleum jelly. Once they take a spark, they will burn up to 2 to 3 minutes, giving you ample opportunity to get a good roaring fire going if you have the right tinder sources. If you have the right twigs and leaves and dry grass, for example, at the ready to, once you strike that cotton ball soaked in Vaseline, it won't consume automatically. It'll burn for 2 to 3 minutes. That petroleum jelly will burn, and that cotton will act as a wick. Once that petroleum jelly is gone, that cotton ball will burn up, and then hopefully you've got enough tinder and some twigs and sticks ready to keep that fire going. So that is one easy, quick way to have a fire source ready, at the ready, in your kits. Another good way, obviously, is a simple Bic lighter. And the Bic lighter uses the technology of the butane fuel and the striker source on the top of it to create a spark, and then that butane fuel will burn. Obviously, it's very simple to carry a lighter with you. And most people overthink firecraft to the point where they don't carry a simple lighter with them. So if you have a fire kit in your bug out bag or in your everyday carry bag or even in your camping gear, make sure you carry at least one or two Bic lighters, because you can use those even when they're out of fuel. You can shave off the sides of that, and that plastic will take a spark as well. Another simple thing you can get at Walmart or Kmart or any retail outlet store, Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's or anything like that, is waterproof matches. Waterproof matches have stood the test of time in regards to being at the ready with a striking source. They'll burn up to 30 seconds, providing a very, very hot flame to get some tinder sources caught up and to give you the ability to make fire fairly easy. So have some waterproof matches in your, with the little striking board that comes with it in your kit. Next is a more of a bushcraft style that I like to refer to as a Phariseum rod or ferro rod with a striker. A good solid ferro rod about a quarter inch to a half inch in diameter and about 3 to 4 inches long will provide a good hot set of sparks onto most tinder sources. And this will allow you to have a good start to the ability to create fire, to create a flame that will burn in most adverse conditions. Even if the ferro rod gets wet or if it's getting flat on one side, you can just flip it around and there you go. You've got a new striking source for making fire. And most of these can be joined with what's called a magnesium block or magnesium powder. You can create this powder by shaving it off of the magnesium block itself and then using your ferro rod to strike that powder, and that powder will immediately begin burning. The magnesium is a very highly flammable element that can give you fire quickly, and it will burn for a good amount of time depending on the size of the shavings that you took off. And one important tool in firecraft is going to be a good solid full tang knife with a 90 degree spine on the back of it. We'll talk more about knives in future episodes, but in this particular episode, that knife with that 90 degree spine on the back of it will serve as a striking source for your magnesium block and ferro rod if you don't have something that goes with those pieces of equipment. That 90 degree spine will shower sparks off that ferro rod, giving you a quick spark in adverse conditions. It's easy to use it in regular conditions, but if you train in adverse conditions, when those adverse conditions come to pass, you'll be ready for those. So we've talked about gear that you need to have with you, whether it's a wet or cold condition, whether it's an urban or wilderness condition. These are surefire ways to allow you to get fire quickly if you have the tinder sources. I keep talking about tinder sources, but in the wilderness setting, tinder sources are very important. Obviously, you want to start burning over time to keep your fire going. You'll have bigger logs, but you can't start with those bigger logs. So you're going to need smaller dry sources of fuel, such as dry grass, smaller twigs, wood shavings. Again, with that knife with the 90-degree spine, you can create some wood shavings that will quickly take a spark from a ferro rod, or in conjunction with that magnesium powder, or if you just want to pile it up with those cotton balls that we discussed earlier. Having your tinder sources at the ready once you get an item started burning will amplify your fire's ability to take off, so to speak. There are three elements to making fire. Let's talk about those for a second. You need fuel, you need heat, and you need air. The fuel can be either from the cotton balls and the petroleum jelly. The heat is going to be from the spark, obviously, and the air around you will cause that fire to take off in the right environment. So now that we've got our gear ready and we understand that in adverse conditions, it's going to be a little more complicated to get fire started. Once we're ready to do that, we need to know what type of fire we're going to make. I would like to discuss about 3 to 4 ways of fires that I have built in the past that if you choose to build, what they could be used for. First, let's talk about the Dakota fire pit. Well, this is more of a bushcraft style of creating fire that is actually below ground level. What happens is you dig 2 separate holes about a foot to a foot and a half in diameter each, and about 8 to 10 inches underground. Once these two holes are dug, you want to dig them about 3 to 4 inches apart from one another. And down below, what's going to happen is you're going to dig a tunnel in between the two holes. One hole will be for drafting air. The other hole will be actually where you do your firecraft creation. So once you put your tinder sources in and then you get the fire started, once it starts burning in the first hole, that tunnel and second hole will act as a draft. It will suck air in to this fire source, and basically the fire will feed itself from an air source situation. So all you'll have to be responsible for is having enough tinder and enough twigs and sticks and wood around you to keep the fire going. It will draft itself. Next is a simple pyramid-style fire. Basically what this is you stack your wood on top of each other in a pyramid-style fashion. You build the fire underneath it, and as the fire takes off and burns, it will burn the pyramid stack of wood, and it will burn for a good amount of time. Next is going to be a lean-to fire. Basically what happens here, you have one large log and several smaller sticks or smaller logs that lean up against it and creating a like a tunnel underneath where you can build your firecraft underneath your tinder bundle underneath this. And as the fire burns, the parts of the smaller wood that begin to burn will catch the larger log on fire, and this fire will burn for a few hours once the larger log takes off. One final option is a long log fire. I actually saw this on another YouTube channel. Basically what happens is there's two large long logs that are about 10 to 15 inches in diameter. Basically what happens is if you have a hatchet or an axe, you shave off one side to make it flat and do the same thing to both logs. Basically what at the end result will be is these long logs will stack one on top of the other, but in between the two logs is going to be your tinder sources, your leaves, your twigs, your cotton balls, other things that will take off quickly, your tinder bundles. And once these catch fire and burn for a good amount of time, it catches the larger logs on fire and gives you a hot bed of coals in between the two larger logs. And basically it feeds itself and burns for several hours at a campsite. This is the type of fire you want. It's going to burn all night to keep you warm, provide a little bit of light. It won't create large flames, but it will be an option to cook on or cook near and provide you a good amount of heat in a very cold situation. So we've talked about the several types of fire lays. Talked about the gear you need to keep in your setups and your scenarios before you hit the training ground. And we've talked about why we want to train in these adverse conditions, because if you do it when it's easy, everybody can do it. But then we've talked about also what fire gives us. It gives us confidence. It gives us heat. It gives us the ability to prep food and clean water. And in adverse conditions, it can give you hope. Knowing that you can stay warm for one more day and allow you to wake up and keep traveling in an adverse situation can give you that hope you need to survive. One may keep asking, you know, I've been listening to this podcast for a while. Why do we choose the topics that we do? Why do we choose to make a podcast of this nature? It's simple, guys. The more prepared I am for various scenarios, the better I can perform should those situations arise. Since I'm building these skill sets myself, it's my obligation to become a light or a vessel of knowledge to those around me, be it family, friends, coworkers, whatever it may be. So when shit hits the fan, guys, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when a bad situation is going to come to pass. I want to be ready. I want you as a listener to be ready. And if you don't get anything else from this podcast today, I want you to know that having the ability to make fire consistently will increase your ability to survive exponentially. If you're only using that fire to dry your gear out, you've got dry gear for the next day. If you're using that fire to heat up food and prep food, you're eating one more day. You're surviving one more day. It's not a matter of if a bad situation or if a survival situation will come to pass. It's a matter of when. And when it does, you need to be ready. There are those around you that are counting on you. you may be not only counting on yourself, but you may have family and friends that if you go on a camping trip and things go south quickly, what skill sets do you have that you can provide in a survival situation? If you fail to plan for safety for yourself and for those around you, you're planning to fail when the time comes. So I'll leave you with this thought. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. This has been another episode of the Swordfish Survival Podcast. I thank you for your listening. I thank you for your time and attention. Feel free to share this on all social media platforms. I am hosted on Google Podcast. I am now hosted on Apple Podcast Syndicate. I am on Spotify. Thank you for your time and attention. I will see you in the next episode.